Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Justice Minister Charlie Flanagan has said that the department believes legislation that would allow Gardaí to disclose information about domestic partners' abusive history is not necessary. A similar law already exists in the UK, which allows individuals to ask police if their partner or partners, whatever, of a close friend or family may pose a risk. And the law was introduced after a campaign by the family of Claire Wood, who was murdered by her partner George Appleton, who had convictions of repeated harassment, threats and kidnapping at knife point in 2009. Her father, Michael Brown, said at the time that he believed Claire would have distanced herself from Appleton if she had have known about his previous offences. However, Charlie Flanagan's recently told Social Democrats TD Catherine Murphy that his department had looked at the law and did not believe introducing similar legislation was required. Today I want to ask you if you think the Gardaí should be allowed to tell a person about their partner's abusive history. Now, the domestic violence disclosure scheme in the UK, known as Clare's Law, is intended to provide information that could protect someone from being a victim of attack. The scheme allows the police to disclose information on request about a partner's previous history of domestic violence or violent acts. At the time of the introduction of the law, the then Home Secretary, Theresa May, told the BBC Clare's Law will give some help to those people who think they have a partner who may be acting in a way which suggests they could be dangerous or violent. It enables that individual then to go to the police and they've got the right to ask for information about that partner. The police obviously have to think about that carefully, what information they should give to the individual and the support that they need to give them. But it enables somebody to know, she said, whether the partner has a record of violence and to be able to take a decision as to whether to stay with them or not. Now, it's very complicated, and I've seen groups on Twitter and on Facebook demanding that Charlie Flanagan bring in this legislation. But it seems quite vague. Their demands seem vague. Now, it is women's groups who are demanding it, and it seems quite vague. And not on conviction, because I'll tell you why. Because when it comes to domestic violence, there are very few convictions. There are actually practically none. There are very few cases of somebody being convicted in a court of law of assault against his wife or assault against her husband or partner, wherever it happens to be. The majority cases usually stem around family law, where somebody has had a barring order or a access order taken away from them, or they have some sort of safety order against them. Now, in saying that, for example, I know of a person who has had a safety order against him, but he's actually done nothing wrong, because a safety order is quite easy to get in some circumstances. If you turn around, if a person, be it a male or female, turns around to a judge and says, "I believe my life is in danger, or I feel threatened by living in the family home, I want a safety order," and the judge will normally give one. There's very little evidence needed. Now, also, people can make reports to a Garda station and say, my partner, my wife or my husband threatened me last night or shouted at me or hit me. And that goes down on record in the Garda station in case it's ever needed in the future for a conviction. So the point is that false allegations are made, particularly when it comes to family law, separation and divorce. People tend to make false allegations, particularly when it comes to access of children, for example. So you have a wife who doesn't want a husband to get access to the children, so she will make an allegation of abuse against the children or abuse against her to stop that access. It happens on a regular basis, even though it may not even be true. Equally, it can happen the other way around too, but most likely not. So the question I want to ask you is, do you agree with Clare's Law? Do you agree that I should have the ability, or you should have the ability, to go to your nearest Garda station if you hook up with somebody and go to a Garda station and say, "Well, look, you know, I'd like some information on this person. Do they have a history of domestic violence, or have they ever had any allegations of direct domestic violence made against them or abuse made against them? Do you believe you're entitled to that information? Yes or no?" Quite simple. Do you believe Charlie Flanagan is wrong? Do you think we need legislation similar to Clare's Law, whereby you can walk into a Garda station and, provided obviously you have some sort of evidence that you're with the person, that you can get information relating to that person's history on domestic violence, abuse or any allegations made against them of a criminal nature? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. So just say yes or no. Do you believe you should have the right to find that information out? Let me go to Pat Patcher on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Pat?
Yeah, how you doing, Noel? Thanks for having me on. No, I don't agree with it, Niall, because your researchers are on the ball. It's the first time I've heard it on any radio station or TV station, and what you've outlined there, which is the amount of false, misleading and scurrilous allegations made against people in the family law courts. Now, I would say mainly, I would probably say 98% are men. And these allegations are made.
Well, the majority are certainly men. We don't know the exact percentage, but the majority will be men, yes.
Well, the court won't even tell you that.
Yeah. Well, that's because it's in camera. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's in camera. Okay. But you know, something to add to that in relation to the in-camera rule as well, where there was a high court hearing. But I'll come back to that in a minute. I think it's... if all these feminazis are... I heard Maliki saying it one day, feminazis, and he's 100% right, because you have to realise that fathers are sons and their brothers and so on. And the way the family, the way some women, with the backing of some of the women's organisations, which are government funded, and the kind of stuff that they put down on paper, complete lies, fabrication, is absolutely disgusting. And in a lot of cases, as you rightly said, judges are throwing them out of court. Unless you get to the stage where, and I do know a few cases that are with us in our group, where some of these fathers have just given up and said, yeah, give her what she likes. I don't care.
I would be familiar with one particular case where I know a man who's had a safety. Now, I know the guy very well, and he's the nicest guy you'll ever meet. He's the calmest guy you'll ever meet. He wouldn't raise a hand or raise his voice to anybody.
Of course, yeah.
And he has a safety order against him. Now, he's still living in the house with his partner, but he has a safety order against him.
Well, the safety order, in fairness, in order to protect women, was a great idea. In fairness, it was a good idea when it came out, but it's been abused by mainly women, left, right and centre. And basically what happens, or what should happen, and you don't need a solicitor for this, basically if your ex or your whatever, your partner makes, you know, goes into court for a safety or the safety and protection order, you can do the same. And in fairness, it works.
It seems a bit farcical when you say it like that you can go in and then do the same. And what I mean?
Well, so, that's what happens. And it tends, Niall, to put manners on both sides or both partners, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I wasn't designed for that. I was designed specifically to protect women, you know? And I suppose you could say men, although men nearly don't get much of a look in. But it was a great idea. But it, like all things, being abused, and it's been abused left, right and centre.
I mean, Pat, just out of curiosity, in relation to, say, when we talk about safety orders or whatever it happens to be, and I'll come back to the original topic in a second in relation to Charlie Flanagan and his saying the law is not necessary, but in relation to safety, if a man finds himself in a situation whereby, you know, he feels threatened in his own home, or he feels like that he has an abusive ex-partner, maybe that he has to live with at the moment, or whatever happened, whatever that personal situation happens to be.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the options open for them? It seems quite easy that for women to go and get safety orders. You said a man can go and get it too. But do you think men are... If a guy goes to, say, in Garda Síochána and says, listen, you know, me missus has given me a hard time, it's quite threatening, I actually feel like my life is in danger in the house. Is he taking it seriously as a woman saying it?
Well, I think now he's taken more seriously, yeah. I think now he's taken more seriously. And we had a few cases where, and we'd advise men in our group. Now, we obviously look after women as well in our group. But, he is taken seriously now. But the guards will, unless it's an assault where he gets a smack of a pan and he has a lump on his head, you know, and a lot of men won't follow through, but they should really report it to the Gardaí. You know, take photographs and go to the hospital and register it as an assault, you know. Mm. No, you don't necessarily have to.
So, in other words, are you saying for both genders, there has to be some sort of evidence of physical violence before the guards get involved?
Yeah, well, there has to be. No, the guards and I would agree with, you know, a man or a woman, and you go down and say, listen, my husband is threatening me or my wife is threatening me. The guards will say, listen, We recommend you go to the courts, the family law courts, and you apply for a safety and protection order.
That's not much good to the guy or the girl at that very particular moment in time where they don't feel safe going back to their home, is it?
Well, what you can do is you can apply for a barren order, an interim barren order. You know, you can go into court in the morning and apply for an interim barren order.
Right, so, and then how does somebody do that? They just go down to the local district court?
You just go down to the court. Now, Women's Aid have an office down in the courts, and they'll put anything, government-sponsored, government-paid, they'll put anything in writing, you know, that you tell them, and they'll say, there you go, off you go, you know.
And is there an organisation, you know, for men in the courts?
No, there's none. No, our courts are very discriminatory, completely and absolutely discriminatory.
I'm gone off the topic, and Helena's shouting me here because I don't want to go too much. We can get into family law and that kind of stuff again another day. But getting back to this, so in the UK at the moment now, I don't know, the law seems quite sketchy in relation to this and quite grey. So in other words, if you have a barring order, for example, technically that's something that's on the register. It's on your record, even though you haven't been criminally convicted in a court of law of assault. It is on your record because you're a barring order. Do you believe that a future partner should be entitled to find out that you had a barring order against a previous partner?
I wouldn't agree with that at all. That's the same as going down to court. That's the same as you and I meeting Helena and saying, listen, yeah, we're going to get married. Hang on, I want to go down to court and check out Helena to see if she's if she has criminal conviction.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. And I think Flanagan is right, you know what I mean? I wouldn't say he put any thought into it. But it sounds ridiculous and it sounds stupid.
Stay there for a second, Pat, because Claire, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Claire?
Hi, how are you?
Claire, do you think this, ironically enough, it's called Claire's Law in the UK, do you believe that it's something that we need?
Yes, definitely. But I think if you go back to the beginning where you said that, you know, it's very, very easy to get a safety order, I completely disagree with that. As a survivor of domestic violence, long-term domestic violence myself, I didn't find it easy to get it. Easy wouldn't have been a word that would have come into the to the conversation at all. It was very, very difficult to get. I was alone on the day that I got it. I don't think people just go in willy-nilly the way that people say that they do, just to
I can only give my own personal experience, well, not personal experience, but I have a friend who has a safety order against him, and I know this guy, and I know the situation in their house extremely well, and I can tell you now, he doesn't deserve it. If anything at all, actually, it's his partner.
That's the big thing as well, because a lot of abusers on the outside, even best friends of my ex, were completely astonished that he did what he did to me. Mm. So, you know, that's all part of domestic violence. And, you know, we're constantly talking about educating people about domestic violence and how it works and the many, many forms that it takes. Punching and stuff like that is the least of it. The control and day-to-day breaking down of a person's spirit and character is the most damaging part of it, and that can be done by words or just simply pushing. Minor assaults are kicking, punching, spitting, pushing, shoving, all sorts of other things. Unless an assault actually involves a broken bone or a laceration and bleeding in hospital, then that's classed as a serious assault.
You can get a barring order in those situations, I imagine, can you? When there's been a serious assault.
It's very hard to get a barring order. That's another thing. If you own the house together, you can't get a barring order.
Let me just ask Pat about this. Sorry, well, hang on a second. Yeah. Pat, you're supporting people, and to be fair to our audience, you're involved in an organisation who helps to support people in these situations all the time, all right?
Talk to us as their organisation.
Okay, so Pat, you've heard Claire say it's not that easy to get a safety order or a barring order. I mean, what has your experience been?
It's simple, Niall, and if you want to do it, I challenge anyone, it's completely simple. Claire's off the mark there completely. And by the way, Claire, I want to say I'm very sorry that you had to live in a situation that you've outlined there. Nobody should have to live in any such a situation. Now, first of all,
I know you've empathized.
Don't buy my experience.
I know you've empathized with her situation and everything, but she's just telling you her own experience, Papa. Go on, yeah.
Right. Well, what I'm saying to you is, if tomorrow morning, any woman can walk into the family law court and get an interim barring order instantly there in the courts. Instant. Well, they're facts now, Claire. They're facts of life. And if you want to ring the family law court, the system is there.
Family law court and I got a safety order. And I was told I couldn't get a barring order because we own the home jointly.
That's bullshit.
But Pat, if they own the home jointly, they're both equally entitled to be there by law.
Well, we challenged that some years ago when that law was brought out. And basically what happened, Niall, you went out to work in the morning and you came home in the afternoon and there was a barring order and a guard serving you with it. You were told to go in.
I know somebody would happen to, and basically he had to wait 3 weeks to get back into court so he could get back into his own home.
It's very hard to get a safety order or a barring order in the area that I live.
Pat, does it depend on judges? Are there some judges or courts that are less likely to give them out than others?
Listen, I would say, look, I've heard some stuff from different parts of the country, and the Simpsons wouldn't make some of the stuff up. I'm generally speaking, I deal myself with people in the family law court in Dublin. And the law is, you could say, strictly adhered to, although it's very unfair. It's very discriminatory against men. But you can go in the morning, this is a fact, you can go in the morning, interim barring order. Now, the person that the interim barring order is taken against has 8 days. You have to be heard in court to answer, to say whether this is true or false. And in a lot of cases, Claire, unfortunately, a lot of women and a lot of women's organisations are making up spurious claims on barren orders and stuff.
And I'm sure spurious claims are made up, and I'm sure men have made up spurious claims in the past as well. But Claire, hang on, because I don't have a huge amount of time. Claire, you know, I accept your experience wasn't a good one. And by the way, I am equally sorry to hear that you went through that. Nobody has, you know, we're all entitled to happiness in our lives, and nobody has the right to take that away from you, right? But in saying that, you know, you have to take Pat's his claim reasonably seriously, that, you know, people do make up spurious claims. I've heard of spurious claims being made up. I've heard of people getting barring orders, and, you know, particularly during a separation situation where everybody's trying to get as much as they possibly can, particularly when there's children involved for access orders, etc. And men in particular being accused of stuff that they didn't actually do. And for somebody to come along, say, 2 years later, and that would go on record, obviously, because it goes through the courts, and to say that information should be imparted to another person or a third party, you know, 4 or 5 years later, does that seem unfair?
Well, as a survivor of domestic violence, I cannot understand. My mind cannot go to where somebody's head is to actually make that up happening to them, because.
But you have to accept. Yeah, but that's fine. But Claire, you have to accept it happens.
I'm sure it does, but yeah. I don't think it happens as much as people say that it happens. Mm. And I think that a lot of abusers, whether they're women or men, out on the street can come across as the most amazing person. I was very quiet. I didn't go out because I was being abused. He was heavily involved in the community. He has a very good job. And people think, his poo doesn't smell, you know, that he's the most amazing person and he's so helpful to everybody else. And that's all part of domestic abuse and controlling someone, because on the outside, they're amazing. So who's going to believe you anyway, even if you did get the courage to tell somebody? But I just don't understand anybody that would go there and stand up in a court and say things.
I don't understand it either, Claire, but people do it.
But it has to be very bad in order to get...
Claire, you're right. And I don't understand why somebody would do that too. But, you know, they will tell you that people who are involved in family law, that it happens on a daily basis,
well,
that
I'm
people
sure
make false allegations.
I mean,
and usually there's a motive. And the motive is usually in relation to access to children.
People that are in prison that may not have done the crime. And somebody said sometimes you can go into a prison and everyone's innocent, you know. But I mean, you know, there's going to be a certain amount of people that will be punished for a crime. But I think at least this way, that if somebody knows and has the heads up that somebody is on this list, then you stay away from them.
Yeah, sorry, Pat, just very quickly, because I was going to a break. What did you want to say to Claire? Sorry.
I just want to say, Niall, just to people directed at men. There was a high court case delivered last
men
year.
Men mainly do it.
We deal with women as well, and you're welcome.
With the greatest respect, let's not get into who's responsible more for domestic violence, because recently in statistics in the UK, they reckon 4 in every 9 cases of domestic violence were women against men.
Okay,
I have to be fair, Claire. Women do the fair share of it as well.
No, can I just say that you know, the statistics prove it, and the Guards have just released the statistics
because,
as well. Because
men tend not to report it. That's the difference.
Well, also, women tend not to murder the men.
Sorry?
Yes.
We're not talking about murder. We're talking about domestic violence. By the way, in relation to murder, if we look at statistics around the world, women equally murder men too. But that's beside the point. I'm not going to get into that. Actually, more men murder men than murder women. So let's not get into murder statistics. But in relation to domestic violence, it seems now, when you look at the figures deeply, domestic violence is perpetrated by both men and women more than likely quite equally. The difference is that men tend not to report it. That's the difference. That's the main difference.
Am I allowed to talk here or not?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So how many women died by domestic violence this year?
That's murder. That's not domestic
violence.
And last
year. No, no, it comes from domestic violence.
No, but the charge, if somebody kills a woman, and gosh almighty, what a horrific crime. If somebody kills a woman or a partner in domestic violence, they'll go to jail for murder.
Right, well, then we shouldn't have domestic violence then. That should be gone.
Of course we shouldn't.
It's assault, it's control.
It is assault, yes.
It's everything else, yeah. But we do, though. That's the trouble. They have it when it suits them. Okay, so it's domestic violence.
I would urge any woman or any man who is assaulted by their partner to charge them with assault. But unfortunately, they're in relationships and they tend not to for some reason. I don't know why. Sorry, Pat, very quickly, just because I have to go to break. Sorry.
I would prefer Claire not to be going on about the gender bias on one side. It's about men and women.
I never said that. I said men and women earlier. Okay? What I said was the results of domestic violence are murdered women and children, not murdered men and children. So you can all you like.
That's not domestic violence. That's murder. It's a completely different situation. We're not talking about murder. And people who have been victims of domestic violence, who are killed, that perpetrator, hopefully would be taken to court and sentenced to murder if he kills somebody. We're talking about people who are involved in relationships and domestic violence and people, thankfully, who are still living. I wanted to Claire, to finish what you were saying there anyway. Sorry, Claire. I understand you talked about, you know, things escalating as far as murder, and nobody would hate to see that happen, although that's why Claire's Law was brought in the first place in the UK. But certainly, some people are saying it would breach data protection. You know, what would happen if it was untrue? That you're tarnishing somebody's reputation maybe for nothing.
I don't know. I mean, look, I can only speak from my own personal experience. And I had a safety order for 3 years, and he threatened me 13 times, and each one was reported to the Gardaí, and nothing was done about it. In fact, one Garda told me to F off and come back when he punches me in the face, because all he was doing was threatening me. Now, the wording of the safety order is anything that puts you in fear. Mm-hmm. When you've been abused in any way by anybody, especially long term, anything they say has a severe effect on you. If a friend of mine said to me, oh, I'm going to do this, pull your hair or whatever, I'd laugh and tell her to F off or whatever. But if it's somebody who has abused you,
somebody
it
you
is
feel
very,
threatened
very
by.
Frightening.
Yes.
Yes.
And by the way, when the guard told you to F off,
the safety order.
The guard that told you to F off while you have the safety order. What did you report him?
Do you know, when you come out of a long-term domestic abuse situation like I did, you're very broken. I mean, you have this elation for the first month or two when they leave the house finally, and then it hits you like a train. What actually happened to you? It's like coming back from a war situation where you realise what happened, and it all just comes tumbling down on top of you, and you go into a terrible low. And you're just trying to find yourself again because you don't know who you are because you never got to do or choose or do anything that you want to do. It's not just punching. And unfortunately, people take it more seriously when they see someone like Jessica can't see yours. Yours is inside. And the Garda who said to me to F off and come back when he punches me in the face, I said, no, I said, I'll tell you what, I'll come back when I die. And he gave me a thumbs up and laughed at me. And this was actually in the police station.
Well, I can tell you now, if that was a guard and I was in your situation who did that or behaved in that manner, absolutely he would be reported to the ombudsman immediately in relation to that kind of comment. Sorry, Pat. Pat, you wanted to say something to Claire?
I'm sorry to hear that. That's shocking treatment that you received from the authorities, Claire. It's shocking. What should have happened there, that's why our group, we deal with both women and men. And we understand the law and we know the procedures. So what should have happened there was he should have been removed from the house by the Gardaí, you know.
Well, that's the reason for the safety order, isn't it? Yes, if he behaves in a threatening manner at all, he's removed.
Exactly. And I would advise any women out there, any women or any men, as the case may be, that if that happens and you receive that kind of treatment from a guard, you stay in the Garda station and you look to speak with the Garda sergeant or the inspector. And you go into a room.
I spoke to a sergeant and she phoned me and apologised and said, look, we'll go and arrest him in about 3 weeks by the time he's back in Ireland. And she said, all right then, look, if he threatens you again, come back to me. So within a week he threatened me again and I got back. she wasn't there and another person was there. And he said, that's
always a problem when you're dealing, particularly with, I understand the problem can be, you're dealing with guards. Every time you ring, there's a different set of guards on a different shift. And I know that may be not be familiar with your personal situation. But do me a favour, stay there for a second, Claire and Pat. So he said, no, it's shocking to hear that Claire had to go through that. But if any guard treated me like that, I know what I'd be doing with him. Another person says, no, as a woman who sat in Dolphin House, I can assure you it's not that easy. It also is a horrific place to be and face the person 8 days later who abused you. Anyone putting themselves through that falsely is sick. Claire's law is important because my ex assaulted multiple ex-partners, did prison time, and I knew nothing until my abuse was reported, where the guards looked horrified after looking at the pulse system. Street angel, house devil, it's naive to think those saying it's false claims, as nobody knows other than the two people. Also, females murdered, the statistics show that normally as a result of intimate partner violence, so it is a result of domestic violence, and I was one of those women who was almost killed. I'm very sorry to hear that, and I can't come on your show as I'm in work. Let me go to Paul. Paul, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Paul?
Hello, Niall.
Paul, you were a victim of domestic abuse.
Yeah.
And you agree with the idea that people should be able to find out?
I believe it should be like a sex offenders register. There should be a domestic abusers register.
Right, okay.
And that wouldn't interfere with anyone's data protection, because if you don't want to end up on a register, don't be abusive to your partner.
Okay, and what gets you on? See, here's always the problem, right, in the grey area. What gets you onto this list? Is it just an accusation or a safety order, a barring order,
or is it
a conviction in court?
Yeah. I think it should be a conviction, and I know that's difficult to get.
It is, because there's very few of them.
I never got one against the person who abused me. I tried and I tried and I could not get one.
And when
we have a proper domestic violence law in this country. That's the whole problem.
Yeah. Well, the state's argument is you may not have a domestic violence law, but in saying that, there is a law of common assault. So you can, it doesn't matter whether it's your husband or your wife, or you can charge somebody with assault if you want to. But unfortunately, in relationships, people tend not to do that because maybe there's children involved and they don't want to, the embarrassment of the whole thing. But sorry, Paul, what happened to you?
Where do I start?
Just give us an idea of the type of the situation you were dealing with, I suppose.
It started with affairs. Then it progressed to bringing different men into the house while I was out at work in front of my children.
Oh, God.
Then it went to threatening me, using my children as a weapon. Then to trying to poison me, putting bleach into my food and my tea. Putting things like Nurofen into my food, cutting my wrist open while I slept, and
I went to guards
and tried to report it.
Is that not attempted murder, to slit somebody's wrist while they're asleep?
That's what I said, but what I got told was, sure, look at the size of you. I mean, I'm not a little guy. It was perceived that because I'm a big bloke,
you can handle yourself, shake the shit out of her.
I done everything I could. Eventually, how I dealt with it was I started wearing a hidden camera on me, and I started recording the behaviour, and I put keyloggers onto my computer to record the conversation she was having with her brothers, who were also threatening me, her father, who was threatening me. It wasn't just her I was dealing with, it was an entire family that I was dealing with.
I'm hoping you're out of that situation.
I'm assuming, and my children live with me. I'm still in my family home. She's gone.
Good enough.
And actually, she's not missed. But
I'm always a firm believer that the person who is the perpetrator and the person who is the one cheating or whatever it happens to be should be the one that should go. And I'm always a firm believer of that. Yeah.
Yeah. But I went to one of the support groups for men for domestic violence, and what I got was a shrug of the shoulders and we're very sorry for your situation, but we've nowhere we can put you.
Right.
So you'll have to go home and put up with it more.
So in other words, you believe you weren't taken seriously?
I wasn't, by the state.
I
definitely wasn't. And I actually contemplated doing something nasty just to be free of it.
I know. I can understand that. And I'm glad you didn't return to us today, Paul.
Yeah, it's like Claire said, it's when it's over, it's when
But the point I was making it clear was, and both of you, I've noticed between both of you, there seems to be a pattern here that people aren't being taken seriously. And if we start taking people seriously, and if we actually had convictions, well, then we wouldn't have those individuals free on the streets to commit the crime again, possibly.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I can see it with both of you. Paul clearly wasn't taken very seriously. You weren't taken very seriously. And by the way, was there physical abuse in your case as well? As well as, you said obviously there was emotional abuse and this kind of threatening behaviour on a regular basis. Was there physical abuse?
With me, sorry.
Yes, with you, Claire, yes.
Oh, with me?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was hundreds of minor assaults, which is kicking and punching, stuff like that. And then there was about, I think there's nearly 20 serious assaults.
And did you report every one of those every time they happened? Did you have to go down to the guards or give them a ring and report those?
I reported it a couple of times, but I was in a situation, I was in a thing called a grey area in Ireland where I was married. We owned our home. He worked. I didn't because I gave up my career because we've got a special needs son. Basically, if I left the house, I was entitled to or eligible for nothing, no help, housing or money. And somebody who's going to do all the things that he did to me, sexually abuse me as well, he wasn't going to put his hand in his pocket and say, that's grand, you get a house and I'll pay for it. So the welfare system couldn't help me because I was married and he was earning. It was up to me to take him to court. And
marriage can be a disadvantage in these situations. I know that sounds a horrible thing to say, but it can be a disadvantage.
Well, that's why I was told I was in a grey area. So I was talking to Women's Aid for about 10 years before I even tried to get a safety order because I was so afraid that if I did get him out and everything else, that he would give me nothing because he believes that.
So you were in a financial trap, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
And by the way, and sorry for interrupting you. Sorry, Paul, I mean, obviously that's a situation that many women would have experienced because, you know, a lot of women would have been stay-at-home partners, whereas men wouldn't have had that experience. But in your situation, obviously, were you financially stable?
No.
Okay. You weren't. Was she the worker?
No. No, she didn't work.
Okay.
Like Claire's situation, we had a child with special needs.
Okay.
I was working at the time. But the money that was coming in, I was struggling to keep up with the mountains of debt that were being accumulated. And they weren't being accumulated by me.
Okay.
And we were essentially stuck in a poverty trap. And I was in a situation as well where I couldn't go anywhere.
Right, okay.
You know, I was stuck there.
And since the safety order, 3 years, and I still can't get him into court to get a proper spousal maintenance. So that just shows if I had got up and left with my child... 3 years, I'd be there still with
not
nowhere
a penny.
To live.
And not a penny in your pocket. Well, do me a favour, stay there, both of you. Let me just go to Jane as well. Jane, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Jane?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Jane, I mean, you've heard, obviously, both Paul and Claire are victims of domestic violence or domestic abuse of some sorts, anyway. But, you know, I mean, should, you know, a future potential partner of either of their ex-partners be aware of the situation that they have made allegations or that they have had safety orders or barring orders or whatever it happens to be? Should they be made aware of that?
Well, it's not as clear-cut as yes and no, because everyone is in a different situation. And at the end of the day, what I'm trying to say is that if someone could use it to their worst advantage, where other people would use it to their advantage, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, like I get what you're saying.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, nobody knows which way it is. And when you live in A, B and C, and people get to know people anyway.
Particularly in rural Ireland, in a smaller town, yes.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Now, I would assume in cities and in suburban areas, it would be a no-go area that you wouldn't have the opportunity or the privilege
to find out about somebody. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and do you believe I suppose the objection from a lot of people by text is that although there are many genuine cases, and obviously we're just declaring Paul today on the air, but there are many other cases where accusations are made which are untrue for whatever scurrilous reasons. But
I could understand why people would go to that extreme.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get me wrong, I'm listening to both Paul and the other lady, but like at the end of the day, it's just the way it is. And people will take advantage of it. And they will go in, as you said, scurrilously and say things that aren't true.
Yeah, and it is a problem. And unfortunately, the legislation would have to take that into consideration in somehow. I don't know if they did.
There's no way in God's earthly world that could be even legalised. Because I could turn around tomorrow and say, and end up going up with you, we'll say. And then I've got all your history. Mm-hmm. And what do I use that toward my advantage? There is a platform called Facebook that can ruin people in a second. Who needs a barring order?
It's a very good point. Social media nowadays has made that very clear. Sorry, Paul, yes?
Sorry, Niall, I was just going to say, in order for anything like that to even come in, the first thing that would need to happen is, one, the double standards of the legal system here would need to change big time. The Gardaí need to step up their game and start taking people seriously. Because
do you believe they took you seriously? Well, do you believe they took you seriously? Claire didn't think they took her seriously.
No, they didn't. I got laughed at. I got asked, you know, but sure, look at the size of you. So what's she going to do to you? You're huge.
Mm.
It doesn't matter. You know, I'm a gentle giant, you know. But they don't.
They're looking for 10 million, aren't they, to be educated into what domestic violence means and all of the different...
You wouldn't imagine it would take money, would you? You'd imagine common sense should prevail, really, you know what I mean?
Well, I said if they got off Facebook for half an hour while they're sitting around the station and just Googled domestic violence, you could learn an awful lot in 10 minutes,
absolutely.
You know?
I couldn't agree with you more. Listen, Claire, thank you very much indeed for sharing your story with us today, and thanks very much indeed, Paul, and I hope to you have wonderful futures and meet the right person, or with the right person, hopefully, that won't be treating you like that again. By the way, if anybody wants any support or help, and if you're looking to talk to somebody, maybe you're in a situation of domestic violence, you can contact formerly Amen, but now anyman.ie. That's anyman.ie at 01 554 3811. That's 554 3811. Or you can also contact Women's Aid Office if you're female at 1-800-341-900. That's 1-800-341-900.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic Hit.